We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zadroik, joined by Chris Owen. We're talking game week 27 in the Premier League. Chris, we're fresh off 6-0 weekend of betting. As a show, we're up more than 4,200. You are now more than 1,000 on $100 bets. 8-1 in your last nine. I'm 46-23 for the season. How does it feel?
Trick question here. It feels good that we've had a little success here, especially in the last couple of weeks. The 6-0 collective 6-0 was pretty cool. It does feel like we're, you know, just given the amount of good bets that we made lately, it does feel like that we. I don't know if this is like a cynicism, but. When's the bad week coming? You know, so I'm a little concerned about that, but I'm trying to stay humble on it. Yeah, just finally, I think you sent out a tweet from the RotoWire soccer account that we're up 4,200 on the season here on $100 bets. That feels good. It's been a grind. You know, it's not been easy, and happy to have a little bit of success. Otherwise, we'd have to reconsider this podcast. So. Yeah, I guess overall happy about it. A little weary. Gonna stick to what got us here overall. And let's see it. We got another game week 27 on deck here. I mean, are you feeling good about this? Concerned? Happy? I don't know.
I think I remember it was probably 2 months ago, maybe even before the World Cup, where I've been sitting around 66% for the season. So I remember just saying, well, I'm like 30-15, you know, the loss has got to start coming at some point, but, but here we are. And, you know, I'm still in kind of the same spot, still at least, you know, on average 2-1 every week. But I think the incredible part is that like, we're coming up with these bets on Wednesday and all these matches are Saturday, Sunday. We're given these bets before press conferences, before all that stuff happens. So, I mean, I felt like last season was like, we were getting screwed a little bit where it was like, okay, this guy was a late scratch and it affected everything. Just like, I don't know, James Madison kind of is in my mind a little bit there, but the fact that we're, you know, putting these bets together Wednesday, giving them out on Thursday, I think is maybe just as incredible as the success we've had.
Yeah, that probably is a good lead into our first match of the day, or I guess our second match of the day. But yeah, I mean, it's I make my bets at about 10 p.m. on a Wednesday night. Week podcast at 6:30 on a Thursday, or at least this is Pacific time, a little later for you. But and then yeah, so I mean, it's been working out. But I think we got to keep the success up, otherwise we're going to be having a different tone here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think the 6:30 a.m. shows would be as fun if our records were the opposite of what they were. I don't know if we'd still be doing them, actually. So
I would be like, all right, Adam, we got to do a different day.
Yeah.
After work, maybe.
Right. Yeah, so this first one, you brought it up. Just a little weird here. We got Everton home against Brentford. And Everton are fresh off. They probably should have beat Nottingham Forest last weekend, but it finished 2-2. I want to say the under 2.5 goals in their game against Nottingham Forest was like minus 190, minus 200. So the fact that I think it was maybe 3 goals in the first half of that one, but this one, Brentford, they played Monday. They beat Fulham 3-2. So we got Everton plus 170 to win at home. Brentford are plus 180. You got the draw at plus 225. Over 2.5 goals, plus 125. Under 2.5 goals, minus 155. So Brentford, they have not lost since the World Cup break. I think that's the – I believe that is the correct stat. If
yeah, 12 straight games unbeaten, 6 wins, 6 draws.
Yep, they do have an FA Cup loss against West Ham. So that is in there. And before I shoot it over to you, while I was waiting for the show, I did look up some XG numbers. And while Brentford have been solid, they've been a little better than what XG would suggest. Kind of the opposite of what Everton have been. So I found that, I guess, not too surprising. So Brentford are running hot, but I'm not sure. I thought it before that Fulham match. I don't think they're playing that well. I don't think they're playing, better than they were earlier in the season. It's just that, they're finding ways to get results. They're finding ways to get goals when needed. Like they had that recent trip to Arsenal. They got a goal out of that one. So just these spots where they're finding ways to get points. But what do you think that's going to mean for this match?
I found this, of the three games we're going to talk about, plus a parlay, I found this game to be the most difficult to discuss. It's, you mentioned, plus 170 for Everton to win at home at Goodison, still sitting in 18th place, fighting a potential relegation, while Brentford are, it's tough to bet against their recent form. They haven't lost in 12 Premier League games. They have even gotten it done in some away matches too, so I'm really at odds here, but I just kind of look back, and the problem here is there is not a ton of data. Recent history, like when last week when we talked about, Man United, Liverpool, or, another similar game like that, you have, 10 years of matches to look back and see who's kind of dominated, if a team has dominated, or if it's been back and forth, if the home team has done better. In this instance, we don't really have that kind of data. I think they played, four matches in the last, 10, 12 years. So yeah. I kind of go back to that and take a look at what's happened in recent times. In this case, in the past 3 to 4 matches, or 4 matches, the both teams have scored. So I'm kind of leaning on that. I don't know if that's the case. And even looking back at, was it 3-2 last week for Brentford, and then 2-2 in that Everton game. So I just feel like, we did expect Sean Dyche to come in and maybe set them up super defensively, but there's been a couple goals. And so I'm going to go both teams to score. Yes. And that is at, what is it at? It's
minus 115.
Minus 115. So I somehow didn't write that in my notes. So there's that. But luckily I sent my bets to Adam and he's got it up here on the board if you're watching on YouTube. But yeah, a little unclear on what to expect. But I think, this could be a 1-1, maybe a 2-1. Brentford, kind of pinch it out, I guess. But, tough game. Everton fighting for their collective Premier League lives at home. Goodison is a really tough place to play. I think they'll be up for it. But I was tempted at that plus 170, but I think I just, couldn't take it. I could not take a side here. So that's why I'm at both teams to score. Yes.
Yeah, good at Goodison. That's kind of what my bet is relating to. And I was looking at the home matches under Sean Dyche. They got that 1-0 win against Arsenal. They got the 1-0 win against Leeds. Then they lost 2-0 against Aston Villa. That game was pretty even. It was back and forth. And then Villa got, I think their first goal was in the 60th minute. And then they got another one a little later in that. But I mean, that was a pretty even match for the most part. And I like your bet just because it seems like in all these situations, Brentford are just finding ways to get points. And I think unless this is a scoreless draw where, that's always possible here with Sean Dyche teams. But I do think there will be maybe more goals than what the public thinks. I'm not sure it's going to be another 2-2 result, but just with the way you got Ivan Toney, Brentford, and it just seems like they're finding ways. They're finding ways to get something. I think Everton can score against them as well. So there's that. As for my bet, I didn't bring it up, but I went, you know, corners and wagers. I'm just I'm just not going to stop until, you know, I have a negative week here on corner bets. I was 3-0 on corner bets. We'll get to my Gold Star bet later, which was a push. Ooh. But but for this one, so Everton at home, a little different, and they limit corners a little more under Sean Dyche. And Brentford are a tricky team to bet corners on, but Everton at home. So in the first half against Arsenal, they had 4 more corners. Against Leeds, they had 3 more corners. And against Villa, they had 2 more corners. So in all those home matches under Dyche, you know, they're riding the home crowd, they're riding Goodison. And this one is simple. You got Everton minus point, I guess I shouldn't say simple, but it's minus 0.25 corners in the first half at minus 115. Again, these quarter bets are, so you get half of your money back if corners are even. And if Everton have more than one, if they have one more corner than Brentford, you win the bet. But if it's even, you get half your money back. I know it's confusing, but that's what the odds are. We pretty much use DraftKings for these odds, and that's where it's at. You could also, I mean, it's kind of similar odds if you just take Everton to have more corners than Brentford in the first half. But you don't get the, you know, half your money back with this 0.25. But I just think that, you know, they're at home. I mean, all my bets, a lot of my bets are just betting on home teams corners in the first half because, you know, that's how it goes. But so there you go. Yes, on both teams to score from Chris. I got Everton minus 0.25 corners in the first half. Both of those are minus 115. So what do you think? Everton more corners in the first half?
I wouldn't be surprised to see that. That's like the Sean Dyche playbook is dominate on set pieces, you know, try to like figure out good systems to put your players in and then just like defend like hell. So I think, might be a good player. It's funny when you look at this game, the unders are hilarious. It's like, oh, like, thanks, DraftKings. Absolutely no favors there. Under 2.5, minus 155. So obviously you're not going to bet that. And then over.
Man, that's how it was over last week, too.
Yeah, over 2.5 is plus 125. It's like absolutely no favors done to us on that. Because, like, do I want to bet 3 goals in an Everton game? Absolutely not. So even though it might happen, right. I just, like, my confidence is low on that. But, yeah, the corners and wagers bet has been working out for you. There's a reason that you have the record that you have, and you know, I think we got to stick with it.
There we go. Fulham. Speaking of teams that just played Monday, Fulham, they were at Brentford. They lost 3-2, but we got Fulham at home. They're plus 475 to beat Arsenal. Arsenal are minus 175. The draw is plus 320. And I mean, for most of these, like the line movement just isn't much. If you're looking at the RotoWire betting pages, it shows you the line movement. I mean, it went for a little bit as minus 165. Now it's minus 175, but really not too many changes in the past couple weeks. You got over 2.5 goals at minus 120, under 2.5 goals plus 100. So Arsenal, they're squeaking by in a lot of these games. The majority of their games, I guess, they're kind of squeaking by. They're getting these stoppage time goals. And I think it even happened the first time these teams played. Arsenal, I think it was 1-1. Arsenal got a late goal there, home against Fulham, obviously. But this one's at Craven Cottage. So now they're at Craven Cottage. Do you think this is just another situation where Arsenal kind of squeak things by? Or do you think Fulham can get a point?
Great question. I think Arsenal's been like, it's been their like arraignment as they've been squeaking out games. Like you said, that they got that Aston Villa result, 90th minute, 2 goals after that. And then last week with that Reece Nelson, it just like feels like there's like a magnetism in the goal, in the opposite team's goal. As we hit the stoppage time, it almost like feels like Fergie time, you know, as we see Arsenal like get closer and closer. This one's going to be tough. It's at Fulham. You know, Fulham has been just exceeding expectations all season long. They, I mean, they had a bit of a blip last week when they lost 3-2 to Fulham. But other than that, I mean, they find themselves in seventh place, probably about seven spaces higher than we thought they would end up. So it's, and then there's that. And then plus Arsenal just like, just seem to be willing themselves towards the title. I don't feel confident enough to say that they will, but yeah, I think the big factor here that we should think about is that Arsenal are they heading to Sporting Lisbon this afternoon, at least this afternoon, our time. So they do have a big game, and I really am intrigued to see what kind of lineup that Arteta puts out there. Like, does he care more about, you know, I think he would care more about winning the Premier League title, but they still are in Europa, and like, is he gonna bring a full strength lineup and then try to like turn around and play that on, this is on Sunday. So I'm a little concerned about who's gonna come out and play that one, and then turn around and play Sunday. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of rotation. There's a few different bets here for this one that I thought would be interesting. I'm myself going to go over 2.5 goals at -125. Arsenal's been filling it up, you know, or at least in the games they have. I think last five games, they lost that game to Manchester City 3-1. As I mentioned, the Aston Villa game where they got two goals after into stoppage time, that was 4-2. The only game where there hasn't been over 2.5 goals is the 1-0 win over Leicester City. That was, I think, three weeks ago. And then it was Arsenal 4-0 over Everton and 3-2 cardiac gunners last weekend. So a lot of goals involved in their games. I think that I'm interested to see. I think I haven't heard the latest on Gabriel Jesus, but I think Nketiah will probably start up front for them again. And then, you know, Fulham, of course, 3-2 last week against Brentford. And they are typically a little bit more defensive. Arsenal lead the league in goals, which is not what I necessarily expected heading into the season. So I'm going over 2.5 goals on this one at -125. The other thought that is kind of scared me just because of the way that these Arsenal games have ended up in the past few weeks was Fulham double chance, which is +140. They're playing at home. They're playing at Craven Cottage. They've been pretty successful there. And so that's in my secondary thoughts if I was feeling a little risque. But I'm gonna stick to it, and I'm gonna not pick a side here and just go over 2.5 goals at -125. Yeah, are we on Arsenal or are we a little weary here, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I said the comment about, you know, they're kind of squeaking by, but you know, they are dominating the majority of these matches. I mean, they had majority of possession against Manchester City. They are controlling these matches. It's just about, it seems like they're allowing goals in a lot of these games as well, though. So that's kind of why I like your bet, because, I mean, you got Manar Solomon, who I think he scored a goal in four straight. He's the new Marcus Rashford. He's scoring every game for Fulham. So you got to think Fulham get at least one. You still got Mitrovic there, even though he's kind of been battling injury here in the second half of the season, isn't scoring as much, but it just makes sense that there's going to be goals unless, you know, Fulham play differently. But, you know, they've been a team that are fine kind of attacking in certain spots and against in most situations. But I think for Arsenal, I think as you were saying, like, you got to think Arteta cares more about the league. I assume there's going to be a bit of rotation for today's match. We'll know like in 2 hours from now, but I assume there's going to be a rotation. You know, Jesus, I doubt he's going to be someone that we have to talk about right now. I mean, he just returned to training this week, I think, and he's been out for, you know, 2-3 months about. So yeah, I mean, Trossard's been starting there, but he's got a knock. Nketiah's got a knock. We'll see how that turns out Thursday. But I mean, they have the Fabio Vieira. I think he even started last league match. They have Jorginho. Yep. They have a deep back line as well. You get Tomiyasu, Tierney. I assume Kieran Tierney is going to start today as well. So Arsenal are deep enough. They can rotate a lot of their spots. So I think they're going to just be a little, they're going to be focused on this game. That's for sure. But so as I was getting back to my Arsenal point here, where they control possession, and I think Fulham, kind of like Brentford, you know, they're getting points in a lot of situations, but they're not controlling things by any means. They're also going to be without Paulinho again. He's on his second match of a suspension. So Sasa Lukic will get another start in the midfield. And I was on Brentford. I think they're minus half a corner in that Monday match. That one hit. Can't remember what the final corner numbers were, but for Arsenal, minus one corners in the first half, that's minus 115. I mean, we already know, I don't know if we should know, Arsenal are going to have 60-65% possession. They're going to have the advantage. I know they're in Lisbon Thursday, but again, expected rotation, and it's not like this team hasn't been in this situation before this season, because, you know, they did have those six group stage matches earlier in the season where they did rotate a bit. So this isn't anything new for them. I just think all the quality in the team and the way they play, to get them minus one corner in the first half, even away from home, I think that's still a pretty safe bet, unless something crazy happens. But they're going to have more corners in this game, unless they score three goals in the first half and then, you know, they don't press in the second, kind of thing. But there you go. Goals and corners.
Yeah. Two things here. The Fulham have given up the third most amount of goals at home. So they've given up 17 goals. So it's not like it's out of the realm of possibilities for Arsenal to go in there and score a few. Also, Arsenal have scored the most goals playing away from home. So a couple things there to support the over 2.5 goals. But, and then my next question is, Adam, when are you going to have the RotoWire tech team build out like an Adams of Droy corners tracker banner across the front of our website? So that it's tough enough for me. I gotta go into the scoreboard or the scores on Saturday and Sunday mornings to see if Adam's bet hit. And I'm like really breaking it down. So I'm waiting for them to build out the banner. Like, all right, here's a live tracker on Adam's bets.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not the easiest thing to track because the majority of these are first half. So
yeah,
not to give out another brand here, but I use SofaScore because they have stats where you can separate first half and second half, and that's the easiest to determine. If you're not keeping up live on the corner bets, then you can just see the first half against the second half. So back to your point, Fulham allowing the most goals. I pulled up the XG here. They've been bad. and their XG is actually worse than the amount of goals they allowed. They've allowed 17 goals at home, and the XG allowed is actually above 23 goals, which is three more than any other team in the league in home matches. So, I mean, we always talk about Craven Cottage, but, maybe Craven Cottage isn't all what it's meant to be. But as we talk about Fulham, they did battle injuries earlier in the season, and they had some really bad games when they started guys like Kurzawa and Mbabu at fullback. They had some bad games. They gave up four against Newcastle. Just scrolling back here, but just some things I wanted to bring up, because I always talk about, you know, Fulham had some really bad matches this season, but that was when, you know, some substitutes were playing there. But
also, like, much earlier in the season and much different from what their current form is. I mean, they still are, like, sitting pretty high in goals scored at home, too, which is, I think they were, what, seventh or eighth? So, like, high end of the mid-table in terms of the amount of goals that they've scored at home, too. So it's, like, tough to see.
Yeah. So for the third game, we're talking about another defensive game, another defensive matchup. Two teams that seem to always have trouble scoring. So we got Newcastle minus 150 to win at home against Wolverhampton. Wolves are plus 425 to win. Draw is plus 295. There's been a bit of movement, and I mean, as we're looking, if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter, so we can see the line movement. So what's this date here? March 5th, so 4 days ago, the odds started moving heavily in Newcastle's favor. So we had Newcastle minus 130 about 5 days ago, and we had Wolverhampton about plus 330 to win about 5 days ago. For some reason, there's been heavy money on Newcastle to win this match, so that is interesting. But we got over 2.5 goals at plus 105. Under 2.5 goals is minus 135. So Is there a reason for this Newcastle line movement, or do you think that just the people are just back in a team that's, you know, still in the top six in the table, and they're at home against a Wolverhampton team that has been a little bit off and home, but they are coming off a 1-0 win against Tottenham?
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting game. Newcastle obviously been struggling. They've lost three straight games, 2-0. A little bit different competition, I'll say that. You know, the first one was Liverpool, second one was in the League Cup to United, and then last weekend was Manchester City, 2-0. Wolves present a different issue. It's Wolves have been a little bit better. They won two of their last five games. I mean, they lost Liverpool, they lost to Bournemouth, but like they have looked a bit better. I think Nick Pope returns to the lineup. Was he back in the lineup against City last weekend? Okay. So yeah, I mean they got pretty much their whole they might be missing Fabian Schär in the back in the starting lineup. I'm not sure if he'll be out or not.
Yeah.
But
Joel Linton will be suspended.
Okay. Well. So I mean they potentially missing two players. Joel Linton has been pretty good for them in the midfield. But I'm having, just given the recent form of Newcastle, it's like, I don't feel great about the win necessarily. I mean, even I feel like they could pull out a draw, and just like their defensive, how good they've been defensively all season. They've like really limited teams in terms of goals. I think the past two Wolverhampton games we've covered on the show, I've taken a goal bans bet, and they both hit. So I'm going back to the well on this one. I don't really understand the money going towards Newcastle to win. I guess maybe Wolverhampton, decent side, they'll make it tough for them. But I'm going back to the goal bans bet here. And I thought it was interesting. There's, looking back, five of the past seven matches they've played have all been 1-1 draws. There was a 2-1 game, and I believe a 1-0 result as well. But we've seen two goals in pretty much all of their matches. And then even looking back at Newcastle's recent results, it's in their past five matches, there's been two goals scored. For Wolves, it's been 1-0, 2-0, 1-1, 1-0, 2-1. So rarely is there more than two goals scored in any of their matches. So that led me to look at the total goals scored, the bans. And so I picked 1-2 goals scored here. It's sitting at plus 100. I just feel like this is another either a 1-0 or a 1-1 result. It's two scrappy teams. Newcastle, less of a scrappy team than Wolverhampton, but definitely a team that is going to sit back defensively and try to control it. And then even if you're like, all right, it's going to be over two goals, the 2-3 goals is minus 105. So you're getting pretty, almost the same odds there. And then if you really are like, all right, Chris, you just talked a lot about the two teams scoring two goals. Exactly. You can get exact goal score, two goals is plus 195. If you want to double down there. Is this a 1-1 game? Is this a 1-0 game, Adam? I mean, you're on a corner bet here, but to absolutely no one's surprise, but I'm curious if you think, is this going to be an outlier?
Maybe I'm not surprised, but that's just kind of how the odds work. But you're getting plus 100 for 1-2 goals scored in this match. That just seems like that's the kind of match it's going to be. That's just how these teams play. Newcastle just haven't been scoring. It's not like Wolverhampton are going to rack up a ton of opportunities in this spot and get, multiple goals kind of a thing. So 1-2 goals seems pretty safe. I mean, it doesn't make sense this is betting we're talking about, and betting is not safe, but, 1-2 goals plus 100, I guess you're at a worry for a 2-1 result or a scoreless draw, but I kind of like the 1-1. I kind of like the 1-0 result there, or even 2-0 for the Newcastle side. So, it just makes sense. I'm not going to say it's a safe bet. Okay. Let's forget I said that.
You keep your whatever star bets or premier bets or whatever you want to call them, gold star bets to yourself. I'm not putting that juju on my bets.
Yeah. So Newcastle, they're having a good run of form, and then some struggles started happening. They're kind of playing this brand of just not to lose and try to escape with a goal here and there. I know they've had some difficult games, but their last home matches, their home against West Ham, that one kind of stood out to me. because they didn't really dominate that match as much as I would expect. I know they got an early goal, and that kind of changed, maybe changed a little bit of how they played, but it finished 1-1, and it was 1-1 from the 32nd minute on. So, I mean, that result was interesting. And then, you know, they're at Bournemouth, and they didn't completely dominate that match. Like, Bournemouth, I think, rightly got a draw out of that game. So I do feel like Newcastle were playing better in the first half of the season. So that is maybe a worry if you're one of the people that's betting on Newcastle money line here, because I do believe Wolverhampton are better than they were in the first half of the season. So for my bet, but still, Newcastle are at home, and I don't know how many times I've taken Newcastle corner bets at home this season, but it's been a lot because they play just kind of a, you know, step on your throat, just kind of control games, dominate things in the midfield. The absence of Joelinton is going to mean – it might mean something, but will it mean something against Wolverhampton, you know, with, I don't know, Neves and Lamina in the midfield? Wolverhampton are solid, but, you know, while they got that 1-0 win against Tottenham last week, they you know, they didn't control that match. They're at home. Tottenham probably should have gotten at least a point out of that one. So I think Newcastle will have enough here in the first half. I don't know if I said it yet, but Newcastle minus one corner in the first half. That's minus 115. I'm just all about the better team having more corners in the first half. That's kind of what a lot of these bets are. But I think Chris has the 1-2 goals scored plus 100. So what bet do you like more here?
You're the corner god. So I kind of like lean towards that. But I do – I like.
You don't like the easy bet here.
I like the bet I like is the exact goal score, two goals, but I'm too much of a coward to say that on the spot or to take that as my bet this week. I like the duality of the 1-2 goals scored. So I'm going that, but if I was taking one bet, I'm taking the two goals scored at plus 195. But yeah. I mean, you're the corners and wagers guy for a reason. So people are going to start seeing you in the public and be like, oh, Adam, the corners and wagers guy, is that him?
Yes, that's definitely gonna happen.
Just noticed in public for your EPL bets.
I would say, I mean, for a lot of these, like, you can do single game parlays for a lot of these. Just you can throw these two bets together and it'll come up with pretty good odds, close to plus 300. As for the exact two goals scored, it kind of feels like plus 195 isn't the best odds. It's not enough to where I'd want like plus 250 or something if you're betting exact goals. I guess is kind of where I'm at. But
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We got the team parlay, and it didn't work out last week.
Did we see that Leicester Southampton game being a 1-0 result for Southampton? I don't think many of us saw that happening, but
I think Leicester threw us off the scent. They had a couple really good matches with Iheanacho starting, and then all of a sudden, like, Madison got hurt, but now he's back, and then Barnes got hurt last week, and it kind of threw us off their scent. And I don't think they scored in their last three Premier League matches. In the middle of that, they lost at home against Blackburn 2-1 in the FA Cup. So I think we should just avoid Leicester City for the time being, because you know, I think it was 7 goals or 8 goals in 2 matches. And we're like, oh man, they're back. They're scoring. Here we go. Let's go. But we're going to avoid Leicester City on this one. That's what I'm coming at.
This reminds me of the great Dennis Green quote. They are who we thought they were. We let them off the hook. I mean, Leicester are who we thought they were, unfortunately. So, we had the 2 games of Iheanacho goals back-to-back. I think I picked him up in, like, a season-long format. I've been starting him the past, like, 3 weeks since he did that. And he's got, like, no points. Like, Iheanacho is exactly who we thought he was. And so it was Leicester City, so.
Yeah, as for my side of the bet, I'll touch on it lightly here. I read the match correctly. It was just this rare instance of the first half corner bet not working. Brighton dominated West Ham. They won 4-0. They dismantled them kind of from the start. I had -1 Brighton corner in the first half. And they were up 2 in terms of corners. They're up 2-0. They're up 3-1. They're up 4-2, I want to say, with about, I don't know, less than 5 minutes left in the first half. I thought I won it. And then I look at my betting slip and it was like, nope, West Ham had 3 corners. They must have had one in the final minute in the first half and it finished 4-3. So that pushed. Unfortunately, that's a rare instance of, you know, the corner bet not hitting even though you're reading the match correctly. So I guess I should have just taken, you know, Brent or Brighton -1.5 or -1 or something. So in terms of goals, no corners, but
you'll take the progress in the process there.
Yeah, progress, process, poor result.
That's fair.
So we got for this week's team parlay. I guess I'll read off. We're still up $565 on our team parlay. Me and Chris are still above 500 in terms of our separate parlay bets. But you're also, so speaking of Brighton, you're looking at this Brighton Leeds match on Saturday.
I am, yeah. It's, you know, the good thing about the parlay is we get to pick from 10 games, I guess, or 7 games, because we usually try to pick one separate of the 3 games that we discussed in the first part of the show. But yeah, I'm going to go over to this game because I was looking through the total goals for all the games, and I thought this one had the most interesting odds. You can get under 2.5 goals. It's at -105. That's going to be my bet, but for a couple of reasons. Similar to what we said in the beginning of the show about Everton and Brentford being, you know, Brentford was they had not a huge amount of games, a pretty small sample size to look at from a historical standpoint. Same can be said for Brighton and Leeds. Leeds was obviously down in the championship for quite a while and then came back up the past couple seasons. So we've got about 5 games to look at, but each game dating back to January 21st of 2021 has been under 2.5 goals. It's been 1-0, 2-0, 0-0, 1-1, 1-0. So that lends me to think, and just the way that Leeds have been playing lately. I mean, you look at their previous results too. 1-0 Chelsea, 2-0 against Fulham in the FA Cup, 1-0 against Southampton, 1-0 against Everton, 2-0 against Manchester. So I'm just like, all right, we got to go under 2.5 goals. I feel like all of the recent results have shown us that. All of the recent head-to-head matchups have shown us that. I am, you know, looking at Brighton too. They did win 4-0 against West Ham last week, but prior to that, their past 4 matches were under 2.5 goals. So I'm going to go there. It's you're getting decent odds at that. What did I say? -105. So I think for the parlay, for those purposes, we're going to ride with it. And I'm sure it's coupled up with a corners bet. Maybe hear from you, Adam.
Always corners. I think your bet makes sense. Just the way that Leeds are playing, kind of they've just been struggling to score. And prior to that 4-0 win for Brighton, Brighton were kind of having trouble to score as well. So I wonder if you get that combined. I still think Brighton are going to have the edge overall in this match, even though it's at Leeds. So I think, you know, they'll have possession. They'll probably have more opportunities, but will that result in goals? I guess that's, you know, that's the question. But I wonder what is the, I don't know if you can look quickly, but the goal ban for like 1 to 2 goal scoring in this match. Because I mean, I think we could get like a 1-1 result. We could get, I mean, even a 1-0 result to either side. We've seen recent Brighton matches to where it's 1-0 and, you know, the other team is, I think it was Bournemouth maybe getting just a late goal, even though, you know, they're dominating kind of thing. But
two goals is plus 115.
Okay. Yeah.
Two to three goals is plus 100.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd like that. If you're in that same range, obviously it takes out scoreless draw as well. So, I mean, if you think scoreless draw is in play, then – but there's a couple bets there that you can get. They're kind of the similar odds, but just something I'd look at. So, for my bet, I got this West Ham-Aston Villa match pulled up. I'm not sure why I picked this match because, you know, it's Aston Villa. It's West Ham. I was originally going to be on the Aston Villa side in terms of corners, but neither one of these teams really get a ton of corners. West Ham are a team who I believe they're still bottom three in the table in terms of possession. Aston Villa, that's why I was kind of on the Aston Villa side in terms of corners, but they just aren't a team that get a lot of corners. For some reason, that's kind of how they play. No matter what the matchup is, they don't really rack up that many corners. So I'm going West Ham, Aston Villa, under 4.5 corners in the first half. It's just a weird matchup. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Maybe it's a 1-1 result, but I think that it's just going to be – I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of back and forth there at the beginning, but I'm not sure it's going to lead to corners. Neither one of these teams gets a lot of corners, so we're just going to ride with the under 4.5 in the first half. That's minus 120. Chris's bet is Leeds Brighton under 2.5 goals, minus 105. That equals plus 257 on the parlay. What do we think? Is that going to hit?
I hope so. Just a note, you know, our both of our records separately on the parlay are positive. Adam's at 12-10. I'm at 13-9. So, I mean, you're taking a chance here when you do take the parlay, and I would love to, you know, if we do hit for you, but if you took these bets as standalones, you still have a pretty good chance at hitting them too. So,
right.
As a parlay, they're great. You get really awesome odds at +257. But you know, even as just a standalone bet, you're still getting -120 and -105. So, if you're like Adam or Chris, you're an idiot. I don't think you're gonna hit this. Then go with Adam's bet. Vice versa for Adam too. So.
Given all of our success, I feel like RotoWire should just create a betting account and then make all of our bets, put $100 on all of our bets. And then it's just like the RotoWire betting account, like a joint betting account that we have. And like, yeah. I take all these bets separately, but I was just talking to, I think it was Ryan Belangi about it. And I'm hitting all these, but because I have to bet on more matches than what we're talking about, second half bets, first half bets, you know, I'm not up as much as what my record suggests personally for my personal betting account. I think it was must have been the Manchester United Liverpool match. I had under 4.5 corners in the first half in that game. And then Liverpool were up 2-0 at the half, 1-0 at the half. And I was like, oh, Manchester United, they got to push a little more. I think it was 2-2 corners at halftime. So I was like, okay, Manchester United, I'll take them race to 5 corners. And you're getting plus odds on it. So I basically took my winnings, put it on Manchester United in the second half. Both teams finished with 4 corners because Manchester United were just terrible. And there goes my money. So there you go.
I can't believe you didn't take the over 6.5 goals, Adam. You didn't put that one out there in the beginning of the game?
I took exact 7-0, so I'm actually rich now.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're filthy rich now. Also, yeah, I mean, I'm all for RotoWire giving us a betting expense account. I think that's going to be a tough one to put past management. But, yeah, I mean, if I get a betting expense account, then sure.
Yeah. Before we go, any quick thoughts here on the rest of the matches? We got the two Manchesters. Actually, pretty much a lot of the top six teams are just big favorites this week. Manchester United, home against Southampton, Manchester City at Crystal Palace, Tottenham, home against Nottingham Forest, Liverpool at Bournemouth, and then we got Arsenal. So a lot of the top teams, big favorites.
Yeah, some good games here, I think. I think there's some tough ones for some of the top sides. I mean, going to Crystal Palace is never easy for any team. For Man City and then Liverpool, Bournemouth, just like this feels like a trap after a 7-0 win. So yeah, there's a couple good games, and then like obviously we had the Champions League earlier this week. We got the Champions League next week, but the Europa League is always just a blast to watch. So I'll be tuning into that today a bit, and yeah, excited to see how some of those results work out, and definitely want to see what lineup comes out for that Arsenal team.
There we go. I mean, same for Manchester United. I believe they're home against Real Betis. So,
yep, they are.
There you go. That's it. That's it for Kits and Wagers. If you want more content, just go to rotowire.com. I'll have an betting article up. And make sure to give a thumbs up on this YouTube video. Always helps in terms of that. Like and subscribe. You can find Chris at CHROWN8 on Twitter. I am at RotoZadroik. You can also find RotoWire Soccer at RotoWire Soccer. And that's all we got for Game Week 27. RotoWire.com/soccer trial. Free 48-hour trial. Here we go. Let's get the 6-0, and then we're gonna hit the parlay.
Let's do it to them.
We're gonna ride into the sunset, and we're gonna be up more than 5,000. Actually, I don't even know if that's possible based off our bets, but it might be with the parlay. Up 5,000 after game week 27. It's either that or we're gonna lose all our bets because we're just We're too confident now, but
let's stay humble here. There's always the option to lose, and that's the unfortunate reality of life.
Stay hungry. Stay humble.
Can't end it on that note. Let's go. Let's win some bets.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants—they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.